Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Sense right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back Alistair Milroy from Breaking the Mold Accounting. How are you today?
I'm good, really well. Good.
Good. Well, in the middle of the Mediterranean season, a news story popped up today about Malta. Now, if you haven't seen the news story, the gist of it is that because of the recent world situation, inflation, the Maltese government decided to subsidize fuel for its residents because that's just another, way in which they can help their people. Brokers, not sure where those brokers are from, all of a sudden frantically started calling all of their super yachts and saying, "Hey, you can come here and get cheap fuel." And so there were quite a number of super yachts that partook of that. Now, let's talk about that. What is subsidizing? What does it mean? And who ultimately pays for it?
So yeah, the government in Malta, I think, to everywhere in the Western world, I think we're seeing this cost of living crisis. It's in all the papers. We've seen particularly energy bills go up, fuel costs, and I've sort of well over 2 euros a litre in Spain and similar in the UK. I think it's sort of over £2 per litre now. So massive increases in cost of fuel. And in Malta at the moment, the government is artificially kept the fuel price at around 130. So it's being, but it's done that by it's subsidizing the government in effect is buying the fuel at a higher price and then selling it on with a subsidy from taxpayers ultimately, to keep that cost of living or fuel cost down for people filling their cars and going to work and it'll equally for pleasure boats in Malta as well. But I think
So basically, what you're saying is a subsidy is when the government purchases, in the case of this fuel, the government has purchased that fuel in order to pass on savings to the people. But ultimately, the money that is used to bring those costs down are the taxpaying dollars or euros of Malta.
it's the government
Ultimately, they are
funds.
paying for it. It is just spread across the entire country.
Yeah, and I think they're estimating. So, as you say, I think some brokers, we don't know who, have gone out and said, "Bring your yacht to Malta, you can fill up, and you can benefit from this low cost fuel," which they have. And the Maltese government has estimated it's lost, quite a few number of million euros now, before closing this loophole. So they've now brought in legislation to stop any boats over 80 foot or 24 meters from benefiting from this subsidy, which is they can control because normally, these fuels are filled by tankers, so it's very different than subsidizing at the pump. But there's still a benefit for local boat owners who are under 24 meters can subsidize fuel. But they've also brought in quite strict penalties now for anyone caught trying to do this for super yachts. I think it's around a 70,000 euro fine for whoever's involved with arranging the refueling. But it sort of struck home to me when I read this because we're an industry which really is trying to promote a clean image. Has already had, we have this as an industry have this image that if something bad happens, people love saying, "Look at the wealthy with his yacht and who's stolen the pension funds or whatever it is." And I think we've got to really look at the way we behave as an industry. This was legal. It was completely legal, but you can, it clearly wasn't meant, this subsidy wasn't meant for refueling cheap fuel for
Well, I
people who
think the
can buy it.
number that I've seen was 200 million euros. How does that reflect, these wealthy people? Was it a matter of nobody thinking, or was it a matter of nobody caring, really?
It's one for the brokers to answer. Maybe they don't think. Maybe it's like, hey, for their clients, they're doing the right thing. They're getting them a cheap fuel and saving them money. But I think there's a wider, rather than just having that for your clients, sometimes you've got to think a little bit like over what the reputational risk is. Because, and again, these clients, those wealthy people, if they end up getting named for taking advantage of this, that's going to be a massive reputational risk for them, which, perhaps they didn't know about in their own. Often these things are decisions that a captain or a yacht manager will make those decisions for it, but actually that could come back as a fairly big negative news story on the owner of the yacht. And I think, we need to step back and take a breath and think about these things maybe before recommending them to clients.
Well, you see, whenever there is a country that is talking about implementing a luxury tax or the fuel taxes or any extra little tax, maybe 1%, 2%, anything like that, the entire industry is up in arms. We're going to lose our businesses. Everyone's going to be out of work. Everything is going to fall apart. But when it comes to an entire country that is left holding the bag, there's not really a lot of ripples throughout the super yacht industry. Why is that?
I'm not sure why. It's been interesting. I've seen this reported in the Malta press today. I haven't seen it come out elsewhere in the super yacht world yet. Maybe we'll see more come from this. It'll be interesting to see whether they actually name some of these yachts or if that information gets out, because I think that could see some ripples. Certainly if I was, if you put yourself in a family office position or an owner of a, fairly high profile person who maybe didn't even know that this decision had been made, or and then it comes backfires and hits them reputationally, then I imagine they'll be looking for a new yacht manager. So, I just think, as an industry, we need to have sort of either a code of practice or a way that we just think a bit more carefully rather than go, right, let's jump for the next thing that's cheap without looking at the impact of that. Because actually what this has done is, it's subsidized fuel from the taxpayers of one country.
The people of Malta, not only are they having issues right now, like most countries on the face of the planet right now with inflation and everything that's gone on, the cost of living has just risen exponentially. But now they have literally paid and will have paid for super yachts fuel.
Yeah, that's what's happened. Legally, it's great, but I don't think it's a great way of portraying the industry.
No. So I guess just to make sure that people out there understand, tax-free is one thing. Subsidized is something entirely different.
Yeah, and I think we've seen tax-free. We've seen a lot of those tax-free schemes for fuel and fuel duty. The EU's been quite strong on trying to harmonise that and stop that happening. So, certainly where there was commercial exemptions for fuel or VAT back on fuel, that's no longer the case under a lot of the commercial exemptions because of this. But this was a subsidy to help with the cost of living crisis that we're all feeling and from the government. And I think it's, whether that becomes a bigger issue of now that that's on the roadmap that the EU looks at that, it could be the case, because it does create a different playing field. But, and as I said, I think having that ability to plan ahead, look at what you can legally do with your taxes is one thing, but you always should look in, how aggressive is it? What are the reputational risks that could come of that? Take a bit more of a wider picture maybe before rushing in and making decisions which could backfire on the
Sometimes individual. Legal and moral are two different things entirely.
They are, and it's moral can be, is playing a lot bigger code of what's right in this day and age. And we've seen that through the last 3 or 4 years that, social media can put and the sort of negative exposure is is a big issue for high net worth people to manage. So, you can always argue that you're legally doing the right thing. But I think in this case, it seems a bit opportunistic I just think it's got a wider impact on the way the industry is perceived, which is something a lot of people I speak to in the industry are very keen to, portray it as a good industry to work in, as an industry that we want to see grow and flourish. I certainly, love being part of it. And, it's a shame to see maybe some short-sighted decisions.
Well, I mean, I think, honestly, there are some absolutely amazing people in this industry and people that really want to do the right thing and push the industry forward in a more positive manner. And that's great. But unfortunately, I think also those people need to take the stand and say to those that aren't of the same thought process, stop. No, we don't accept that practices, rather than spending money trying to change the image, perhaps bring it within and literally change the image by thought, deed, and action.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what you do, isn't it? Walk the walk, not just talk the talk, and really actions speak much louder than word when it comes to these.
We'll see. It should be interesting. Anyways, Alistair, I want to say thank you very much again for your time. I think you're going to be having a guest next week, aren't you?
Yeah, planning to. So, we'll get that organized, and we've got a few more planned for the next few weeks as well.
Wonderful. We're looking forward to it. Once again, it's been Alistair Milroy from Breaking the Mold Accounting right here with us on Yachting International Radio. Thank you.
Thanks, Rhea.
My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next week.